not spare his own son, but freely gave him for us all, how will he not also along with him freely give us all things? Romans chapter 8. We believe what God says. Amen. We believe what God says. And we believe the power of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to his name. While we're finding our places in the Word of God, once again in 1 John chapter 4, let me ask the children along with their leaders to go for children's church. And while they're going and we're all settling at the Word of God, let me say just a word about 40 days of prayer and fasting, which according to the schedule closes today, Palm Sunday. And maybe that will be true for some of you, and I hope these 40 days have been just very special between your soul and God. This usually happens to me in the space of 40 days. There are some days when it's just not possible, and one of those days, nearly every week, is Sunday. I just simply cannot do this on Sunday. So I'm glad for this extra week between Palm Sunday and Easter, and I just continue right on. So if some of you have days that you've missed, I would encourage you to join me. And during this very, very holy week, we can go back and pick up those days and spend special time before the Lord in fasting and prayer. I hope it's been a great, great blessing to you. We're reading again those three verses at the beginning of 1 John chapter 4. We were here last Sunday, and I'd like to be here one more Sunday. Please follow with me either on screens or in your Bibles, preferably in your Bibles. I prefer that very much. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. In preaching this text, I realized fairly early on that it was going to be hard for us to get us stirred up about Jesus coming in the flesh as the Apostle John obviously was. Someone said to me after last Sunday's service, I can't remember a time when I didn't believe that Jesus was a man, fully a man. Well, I can't either. That's not our issue, is it? And yet, it was the issue, it was the big issue for the first several decades in the early church. Certain false teachers, wanting to be Christians and hold on to the gospel with one hand, but at the same time hold on to Greek philosophy in the other hand, began traveling the churches, teaching, among other things, that Jesus did not actually come in the flesh, not truly, not fully. Their ideas took several forms. One of those was Docetism, which we talked about briefly last Sunday, and I introduced to you. In the teaching of Docetism, Jesus was said to only have appeared as a human being. He only seemed to be a human being. Yes, he took up residence inside a human body for a period of years, but it was something a little like having a costume you put on. That's the best analogy I know to make. And you'll remember the little demonstration Pastor Matthew did with me. And he came in as a gorilla, and he looked pretty much like one. And I think I even said he smelled like one. Well, I'm not sure about that. But when the costume came off, there was Pastor Matthew underneath just the same. Well, that's kind of the teaching of docetism. Jesus only appeared to be a human being. He only seemed to be a human being. Another form of this teaching was called Cerinthianism. It was named after Cerinthus, by the way, a contemporary of the Apostle John. So this was all very real at the moment John was writing. Cerinthianism was a little bit more complicated. If you can follow this, listen carefully for about two or three sentences here. I'm not sure I can get my mind around it, but here's what they went about teaching, and many in the churches were deceived. Cerinthus said that at Jesus' baptism, the divine Christ, as he called it, came down upon the human Jesus in the form of a dove. See, he distinguished between divine Christ and human Jesus. At the baptism, he said the divine Christ came down on the human Jesus so that throughout all his ministry, Jesus taught and healed and performed miracles through the power of this divine Christ that had come upon him at baptism. But at the end of his life, just as he was ready to face the cross, Cerinthus said, this divine Christ left the human Jesus. So that in Jesus' death, in his burial, and even in his resurrection, the divine Christ was gone. Now, I know that sounds pretty wild and pretty weird. But that's the kind of teaching John was so passionate to counteract. Even coming back to it again, by the way, in his second epistle and using almost identical words. Verse 7 of 2 John. Many deceivers who do not acknowledge. Now, watch his wording now in light of what I've just told you. Who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh, have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the antichrist. John was thinking of men like Cerinthus when he wrote that. And I've taken these extra two or three minutes here at the beginning to share that with you because I think it's helpful for us to understand why John was so stirred up about this. John knew that if this went down, everything goes down. Take this out of the gospel, and dear friends, there is no gospel. But why? I would dare to think many of us have not given that much thought. Why does it make such a huge, critical difference that Jesus became a man, fully a man? That is the question that is extremely relevant for us today. We gave one answer last Sunday. I hope you'll remember it. That it's only when Jesus comes to us as a human being that we can clearly see and know the heart of God. And that's not my opinion, that's what the gospel says. As John declared right at the beginning of his gospel, no one has ever seen God. Now let me stop right there a moment. That is to say, on our own, dear friends, we know nothing about God. Nothing, nothing, nothing. On our own, any knowledge we think we have about God is pure speculation. Human opinion, where one is as good as another. No one has ever seen God. But God, the one and only, the only begotten. See, we're talking about something that comes from the other side. who is at the Father's side, who comes from the Father's bosom. Jesus has made him known. The picture is he has pulled back the curtains so that we can truly see and know God the Father. We said last time and went over it in various ways, the wonderful thing about that is when we see the heart of God in the face of Jesus, when we see the heart of God in the face of Jesus, our questions get answered. The fog is lifted and our hearts begin to open up, and by the Spirit of God, we find ourselves drawn heavenward, and we then become confident enough to believe that God really is good, that he really does love us, and that we can trust him with all our lives. Now, those are the things, dear friends, that are the primary barriers that seem to keep many people away from God. They're not sure, is God good? Does he really love me? And can I trust him with my life? That only gets answered, dear friends, when Jesus comes to us as a human being so that we see and know the heart of God in the face of Jesus. That's the first reason it makes such a huge, critical difference. The whole foundation of your faith in God is built on the fact that this Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God, came in the flesh. But there's a second reason, and this is the focus of the rest of today's message. Follows the first. It's only when Jesus comes to us as a human being that we have the bridge we need to get back to God. It's only when Jesus comes to us as a human being that we have the bridge we need to get back to God. But someone might ask, but what does that have to do with Jesus coming in the flesh? I understand about needing a bridge to get back to God, but what does that have to do with Jesus coming in the flesh? I want you to think with me for a few moments about bridges. We'll start in the natural realm. And I want you to think with me what it takes to have a good bridge. So we're going to do a little demonstration here at the front. I'm going to ask the help of the students that are nearby. All of you will not be able to see directly everything that I'm doing, but you know pretty much how the front looks. There's the altar on this side stretching out down toward the piano. There's the altar on this side stretching out toward the organ. And in between is this pretty sizable gap between the two. And what we're going to do is try to make a bridge between the two. Well, I went down the basement over to the house and I picked up a few boards. Students, I want you to help me figure out whether what I've brought can work as a bridge or not. If it can, tell me yes and why, and if it can't, tell me no and why. Well, here's a board I found. Pretty nice looking board. Will this work as a bridge across? No. Why not? It's too short. So, if I attach it here, it's just hanging out there. What if I started at the other side? Maybe it would work from this side. No. Problem? It's just too short. All right, we'll toss that one. I have another one. What do you think about this one? You think this one would work? What do you think, Caleb? It's too short. Still think it's too short? Let's try. Sure enough, too short. Make a difference if I go to that side to start first? Too short. Well, that tells us the first thing that a bridge has to do. A bridge has to reach all the way across and touch both sides. Do you agree? A bridge has to reach all the way across and touch both sides. It does no good to have a bridge that only touches one side. If you're going to get across, it has to reach both sides. All right? I think maybe I have a board that would reach both sides. Do you think this one would reach both sides? All right, should I put it up there? All right. Now, what do you think about that one? Would you be willing to get up and go across this bridge? It reaches both sides. But you wouldn't get. Now, I'm not talking about how wide it is. Even the altar's a little narrow unless you're a gymnast. Most of us would fall off. So I'm not talking about the width. But it stretches all the way across. Would you be willing to walk across this bridge? Why not? So, you don't think it's strong enough. Does this one look better? A little bit thicker? A little bit, well, maybe wider. It looks like a heavier board. All right, it's long enough. Would you walk across this one? Maybe I need to show you something. You see that big knot in the middle? It kind of goes all the way through. Actually, I think if I pressed hard enough, ooh, good choice. Don't want to use that bridge either. All right, here's another board I found in the basement. It's long enough. Now again, I'm not talking about the width, but would you be willing to trust a bridge that would be like this? You want to see it better? There's nothing I'm hiding. So it reaches from one side to the other, and you would go across it. Right? That's the second thing you have to have a good bridge, isn't it? A bridge has to be strong enough for the weight of what's being carried across. A bridge has to be long enough to touch both sides and reach all the way across the gap. And a bridge has to be good enough and strong enough to carry the weight of whatever is going across. Now, it doesn't matter from which side you're coming, but if you're going to get across safely, then the load limit on the bridge has to be greater than the weight of whatever is going across. Every bridge has a load limit. If you travel country roads, you'll see this. I remember it from my earliest childhood. You'll come up to a little bridge on a gravel road even. There'll be a little sign on either side. Load limit, 3 ton. Load limit, 5 tons. Load limit, 10 ton. Every bridge has a load limit. So there are two things that are a minimum requirement, just a minimum requirement. We're not even talking about aesthetics. We're just talking about minimum requirement for a good bridge. A good bridge has to reach all the way across the gap and touch both sides. And two, a bridge has to be strong enough to hold up the weight of whatever has to cross over. Now, I want you to think of those two things as we begin to make the application to the Scriptures. If God is on this side of the altar, so to speak, And you and I are on this side of the altar. And there is this huge gap between us. What will it take for us to ever get back to God again? A bridge. A bridge. I don't know about you. I wouldn't want to try to jump across this. It's too wide. I don't think you would either. Without a bridge, there is no way to cross the gap. So the question is there a bridge? What is the answer of the gospel? Yes. And what is that bridge? What is the answer of the gospel? That bridge is Jesus. But now here's the big question. Is Jesus a good enough bridge to get us all the way back across? Remember the two things a bridge has to do. Number one, a bridge has to reach all the way across and touch both sides. Does Jesus do that? Yes. Listen to what the gospel declares. John chapter 1. He came from the bosom of the Father. What's that saying? He came from God's side. From all eternity. He was in touch with this side. But in the very same chapter, very same gospel, what does it say? This Jesus, the Word, became flesh and dwelt among us. What's that saying? He became a human being so he could reach all the way across to our side. Now, whether you've ever thought about it or not, I don't know. But that's why Jesus had to be fully God. So he could touch this side. And that's why Jesus had to be fully man so that he could also touch this side. There was no other way to have the bridge that would be needed to reach all the way across God to us and us to God. And so the proclamation of the gospel is, Jesus is that bridge that reaches all the way across and touches both sides. And that's why John could say, you let go of Jesus coming in the flesh and the gospel falls. There is no gospel. It would be like one of these boards I tested you with at the beginning. It would be like saying, Jesus is the bridge. No one here would get on this bridge. Doesn't touch both sides. That's why it was so hugely critical that Jesus come in the flesh and that you and I believe with all our hearts and all our lives Jesus has come in the flesh. He is the bridge that reaches all the way across and touches both sides. He is fully God and he's fully man. But we saw together there is a second thing that a bridge has to be able to do. A bridge has to be good enough and has to be strong enough for the weight of what needs to go across it. Does Jesus do that? Yes. Again, listen to the proclamation of the gospel. In the first chapter of his gospel, John, same writer, spells out the load that needs to be carried from God's side to us. Chapter 1, verse 17. The law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Verse 14. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Did you pick out the three things that need to be carried from God's side to us? Number one, grace. Number two, truth. Number three, glory. Dear friends, those are the gifts of salvation. You get salvation and you get all three of those. They accompany salvation and they are the three gifts we all most need. Oh, how much we need grace. Grace to forgive, grace to restore, grace to renew, grace to carry, grace to sustain, grace to take us all the way through home. We need truth. Truth is not just facts and information. Truth is what is eternally real. Truth is what has eternal life in it. The kind of foundation that will hold you up and keep you going and carry you through all the way in life and get you into eternity. And we need glory. Not glory for ourselves, but the glory that is Christ Jesus filling our own lives so that, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. And Jesus prayed in John chapter 17. He said, Father, I want the day to come when all these who are mine are with me. And they see my glory, and we share the glory together. Gifts of salvation. And the things every one of us need most. So the question is Jesus good enough? Is Jesus strong enough to carry those gifts from God over to us? Yes, that is the proclamation of the gospel. But you know, friends, there is also a load that needs to be carried from our side to God. From God's side to us, what we need carried over is grace and truth and glory. But there's a load that needs to be carried from us over to God too. And it's not our good works. We don't have any. It's not our own righteousness. We don't have any. It's not even our hunger for God or some desire we have for God to help us in our troubles. You know, the truth is, until the Spirit of God awakens our hearts and draws us, you and I don't have much hunger for God. You and I don't have much hunger for God. In fact, you look around in the world, most people, even in trouble, are not calling on God for help. See, so that's not what needs to be carried. We don't have anything there to be carried. You know what needs to be carried over from our side to God? The load on our side that needs to be carried across. You know what it is? It's all our guilt. It's all our debt before God. It's our shame. It's our brokenness that needs to be carried across and taken care of before God. Because you and I can't take care of it. And there's nobody on earth that can take care of your guilt and your shame and your brokenness and your debt. You can't do it. I can't do it for you. No church can do it. Nobody on earth can take care of that. It needs to be carried across and be taken care of before God. He's the only one who can. But again, the question, is Jesus good enough? Is Jesus strong enough to carry that load across from us to God? And the answer of the gospel is yes. So you see the picture. The load from both sides is being carried by Jesus. All the grace and all the truth and all the glory that we so much need coming from the Father's heart is carried across by Jesus. And all the sin and all the guilt and all the hopelessness from our side is carried across by Jesus. And here's the really good news. You know where they both meet? The load from our side and the load from God's side. Do you know where they both meet? At the cross. Right at the center of the bridge is the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there at the cross, atonement is made for us. And there at the cross, reconciliation happens so that we're brought together again. And here's the part I really like. At the cross, the great exchange happens. What do I mean by that? Well, what's coming from this side? Guilt, debt, sin, shame, darkness, despair, hopelessness. And Jesus carries us across and says, "My child, I have a place where you can lay it all down." I have a place where the load can drop off because I've already carried it. I already carried all of that at the cross. Now, just let me carry you across and pick up all that load, and I'll just bury it in the sea of God's forgetfulness at the cross. And then what happens? Then Jesus says, and in its place, here's what I want to give you. I have carried from the Father's heart all the grace that you will ever need, plenteous grace for all your life. Now I want to give you that in exchange for all that awful load you just got rid of. And I have carried from the Father's side all the truth that will take you from earth to heaven. I want to give you that in exchange for what you have let loose. And I have brought glory from the Father, and I want you to share in that glory. I want to begin to place that in your heart and life by me, I myself coming into you in all my glory. I want to do a great exchange at the cross. You laid down all that garbage and darkness, that stuff that's ruining your life. Lay it all down. I'll take it. I'll bury it right here. And in its place, I'll give you an exchange of grace and truth. And glory. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. And while you're letting this simple picture here at the front sink into your soul, would you please listen to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 4 through 6. And I want to give it to you out of the Living Bible. It's so graphic, especially in light of our picture here. Do you see it? Do you see yourself in this picture? God longs for all men to be saved. Let that first of all get hold of you. God longs for all men to be saved. And to understand this truth, that God is on one side, and all the people are on the other side, and Christ Jesus, Himself man, is between them to bring them together. How? By giving His life for all mankind. There's the bridge, and right at the center, there's the cross. Worship leaders, would you begin to come back to the front, please? Dear friends, on this Palm Sunday, as we just begin to enter Holy Week, I want to declare to you, on the authority of the gospel written down and handed down to us, I want to declare to you, this is the gospel for all men. This is the gospel in a picture. But I want you to understand clearly, dear friends, this all didn't happen in an illustration such as I've tried to carry out here at the front of the church. This happened in reality. A real person outside a real place, Jerusalem, on a real hill, on a real cross. This happened when God in Christ really and truly emptied himself and was made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. I really like what someone said. Jesus did not take on human flesh and bone just to see if he could do it. Jesus did not suffer and die just simply to see if he could do it. Jesus did that so that you and I might experience the salvation of our souls. But salvation could only come to you and me if there was someone who could be the bridge. Someone who could reach all the way across the gap and touch both sides, fully God, fully man. And someone who would be good enough and strong enough to bear the load that needed to be carried from both sides. Grace, truth, glory, sin, guilt, debt, shame, brokenness, despair. I want to declare this morning, Jesus is the bridge. Jesus is the bridge. And so the question for me and the question for you is, have I allowed Jesus to bring me across? Have I let him take care of all the things that have kept me away so that there is no longer any separation between my soul and God? You see, it's not enough to look up here and say, oh, Pastor, that's kind of a neat illustration. I see it. I understand it. I like that picture. That's not enough. The only response that changes anything is when we say, I see the truth of the gospel, and that's what I need. That's what I need. And I understand what Jesus has done for me, and I know that what needs to happen for me is I need to be brought over to the other side, God's side. And the only way across is through Jesus and by way of the cross. That's what I want. I come to the cross now. We're going to sing some songs here in closing. Begin by listening and following the words. By the words of the songs, as well as what we've tried to declare in word and in picture, some of you, many of you, can just look at what Jesus has done for you and rejoice. You'll rejoice in the songs. You'll give thanks to God for his salvation. But I'm concerned about those who are still just over here. Going along, going along, going along, but still really, in actuality, not at one with God. I hope in the simple truth this morning, your heart has heard God sent his only begotten Son to make the way. And even suffered and died on a cross to take care of everything that needs to be taken care of, so that all the grace and truth and glory your heart longs for comes your way. We're going to sing in a moment. We're going to listen first, then we're going to sing. And while we do, if you know the reality of this, rejoice and give him thanks. If you're not sure, please know this is an invitation. This is an invitation. Won't you come to the cross too? You could even do that this morning, because the invitation is out there. And Jesus is waiting for you. Don't put it off.
To the cross, seeking mercy and grace. I come to the cross where you died in my place. Out of my weakness and into your strength. I come to the cross, seeking mercy and grace. I come to the cross where you died in my place. You paid the price for my guilt and my shame. Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come to the cross.
Thanks be to God. Today is the day of salvation. And this morning the invitation has gone out again, and while the day of grace is still open, the invitation is extended. So that even if you didn't come today and your heart was telling you by the Spirit that you needed to, please don't just walk away and forget. There is a way across And right at the center is the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, and he waits for you. And just before we dismiss, let me say to all of us who have come, have believed, and have experienced, one of our great privileges, and especially at this time of year, is to come before him and share communion. And so tonight we'll gather together here in the service and come to the Lord's table in communion. And if you know him, you know his forgiveness, you know that transforming experience that happens at the cross, you're invited to join us. It'll be a great time. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, how do we begin to express our thanks for what you have done in Christ Jesus, your Son? The most we can do is say thank you and then say, Lord, we want all our lives to be lived in honor of you. Take the truth this morning and continue to bless it to the hearts of your people, to those who know you and those who yet stand a bit far back. One day, soon or late, may we all come to the cross and experience what Jesus has won for us. And now as we go, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide on each one of us. May your presence be so real in the Sunday school classes as they meet, children on up to adults. And may the fellowship and the learning be sweet because we have gathered in Jesus' name. And it's in his name we ask. Amen. Amen. Thank you, God.